Welcome to the broadcast ministry of His Vision Ministries with Pastor Shane Lawson. God's word is unlike any other word. It is alive. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." John 6:63. These messages are intended to bring life application, hope, and encouragement from the Word of God. The purpose of His Vision's multimedia ministry is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world through the use of technology and media as an outreach tool. We pray you will be blessed by today's message. Now here is Pastor Shane.
As we open God's Word today, we come to the final message in our 13-week journey through the series Living Through Life's Hard Hits. And week after week, we've watched Scripture shine light on the pressures, the disappointments, the struggles, all the shaping moments that God uses, I believe, to strengthen His people. And this series has taken us through the valleys and through the mountaintops and through questions and, I believe, clarifying truths and through reminders that God's grace is never absent in our adversity. And now as we stand at the conclusion, my prayer is that this final message will not mark the end of what God has been doing, but rather the beginning of a deeper and stronger walk with Him, even as we continue facing life's hard hits. And so, the title of the message today, Don't Wither While You Wait. And would you take your Bibles, please, and turn this morning to the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter. And before we read our scripture, let me say this morning. Nothing thrills my heart anymore than the truth that Jesus could return at any moment. Amen. We are right now, I believe, on a collision course with destiny, and as God's children, we cannot afford to live in ignorance. And we must stay alert, and we must be aware. Amen? And the signs of His coming are everywhere. In fact, let me say this. I've stopped looking for the signs, and I've started listening for the shout. I'm listening for that trumpet. Are you? And so, hear me well. I want you to know today, my friend, that Jesus Christ could return at any moment. Amen. And you better be ready. You know what the end of the Bible reads in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20? Surely I come quickly, amen. And it goes on to say, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's my prayer. You know, the pain of the pause, life's hardest hits come, listen, not just from storms of chaos, but in seasons of silence. And it's not always the crash that crushes us. It's the weight that wears us down. And we pray, we plead, we press on, and we press in. But guess what? Sometimes it just seems yet that heaven is still remaining still. But you know what? Psalm chapter 37 and verse number 4, our verse today, offers hope in the hush. King David says this, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." You know, waiting on the Lord, my friend, is not wasted time. And it's a workout time. That's what it is. And so it's where our faith, I believe, can be deepened. Our focus is refined. And also our hearts are aligned with God's divine desires. And so in this message today, I want us to explore how to wait well when life hits hard. Listen, don't wither while you wait. Here's what I want us to take out the door today if you want to write it down in the way of our life application. It's simply this. Listen, when you delight yourself in the Lord, you won't wither in your waiting. Why? Because, friend, your deepest desires are shaped and they are satisfied by Him and Him alone. Amen? Amen. And so a few things I want us to take away today if you take notes. First of all, number one, let's talk about the delight in the delay. Notice what the Bible says here again in verse 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And so we see here a passionate pursuit, and waiting is not a passive endeavor. It is a fact, in fact, a passionate pursuit of the presence of God. And so the psalmist here, David that is encouraging us to delight rather to despair or to drift or to demand answers from the divine. I want to tell you today that the word delight there means to take immense pleasure in someone. And in this case, it is about finding joy, not in the gifts that we seek. I know Christmas is coming around, and everybody likes gifts. Not in the gifts that we seek, but in the giver himself. And David wrote this psalm here, and he emphasizes that our delight should not be rooted in delays, but in the divine who is orchestrating those delays. See, it's the Lord that's orchestrating every delay that we have in our lives. And so in this waiting room of your life, listen, our best posture is one of worship as it cultivates an attitude of gratitude and also anticipation. And so when we shift our hearts from an outcome-based to a relationship-based joy, waiting, whatever that is that we're waiting on, transforms into a wellspring of worship that I believe nourishes our spirit. And then, of course, there's the personal dependence. Delighting in the Lord also necessitates a profound dependence on Him. I don't know about you, but I was telling Kelly this, and I'm just being honest, today you can't depend on anybody, right? But I can tell you somebody I can depend on, and that's my Lord and Savior. It involves a heartfelt declaration, and that's simply this: Lord, even if my desires are delayed, whatever they are, I'm going to continue to desire you above all else. Amen. You know, this attitude, I think it requires you and I to adjust our actions and affections to align with His agenda rather than whatever our own agenda is. You know, many people today will experience disappointment in their life, and that's what we've been talking about for 13 or 14 weeks here, not necessarily because God has failed to answer their prayers, but because they are disheartened. Listen, friend, he didn't respond to the way that they thought that he ought to respond. So guess what? They get disappointed in their heart. But listen, when you and I, when we wait in delight, our hearts become fertile soil. Why? For His sovereign will take root. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to flourish. And I'll say this, one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that tells me that waiting indeed, my good friends, can be a source of renewal when we delight in the One. Not in the things, but in the One that's worth waiting for, right? Several years ago, a pastor told the story of a woman in his church who had prayed fervently for a new job. Her company was downsizing, and she was desperately wanting God to open the door to a position that she had applied for. And if anybody's ever worked, you know what it's like to apply for a job or for a position, right? We've all been there. And so one she felt that was perfect for all the skills that she had and her schedule and her family and that sort of thing, you know, the things that we all seek. And weeks went by, and not only did she not get the job, her department that she was working in was dissolved. In other words, they got rid of the department entirely. And this woman, she left devastated, just like the lady on the screen. In her mind, the only way that God could care for her was to give her the job that she had chosen in a way that she had scripted it. And so, here's the rest of the story. 2 months go by. Another company reached out to her unexpectedly. No application, no interview at all. They offered her a position with better hours, better pay, better long-term stability and benefits than the one that she had prayed for. She later admitted, and I want to quote what this woman said. She said, and I quote, "I wasn't disappointed because God didn't answer my prayer. I was disappointed because he didn't answer it my way." Friend, her story reminds us that our discouragement often isn't about God's silence. It's about our struggle to surrender to his better plan.
Amen.
See, you and I think we know what we want.
Right.
And we want it, right?
Yep.
But can I tell you something? God knows what we need.
Amen.
Yes, he does.
And that's what's important. I can't tell you how many times I praise God. Lord, thank you for not letting me get into that mess. I thought I wanted that, but I didn't. You knew what I needed. We see next the direction in the delay. Notice it says back here in our text, "And he shall give thee." You know, God grants according to our growth. And it's important to note here, it says he shall give. And in other words, God is giving. His giving is guiding our growth. And so God often, listen, his delays, and sometimes he has delays, right? His delays are not intended to deny us and what we speak, but guess what? They are to develop you and I in faith. They are to stretch our patience. Don't pray for patience. Listen, God already gives us enough time and opportunity for patience. But that's what it does. It stretches our patience. It deepens our intimacy with him and him alone. He grants us not merely what we want, because everybody wants things, but rather what we have become ready in our hearts to receive. Listen, I think waiting, it shapes our requests, and it sharpens our perception of what God, what we know is genuinely good for us that God knows. And so he grants blessings when we're grounded in faith and also spiritually mature enough to handle whatever those blessings are. See, sometimes people pray for things that they're not ready for. And then God governs the giving, the direction and the delay. He's governing the giving. Listen, God is not a genie who grants wishes at our command. Rather, he is a governor. And what I mean by that is that he is a governor who gives according to his perfect timing, his terms, and his truth. And so some desires may be delayed, and that's because, listen, we've not cultivated the necessary discipline. And while others may be withheld because they could derail a God-given destiny. In this way, guess what? Waiting, I believe, can serve a form of divine protection. Do you realize that God is protecting you sometimes while you're having to wait? And we think it's punishment, but it's not. Why? Because God knows, right? Psalm chapter 84 and verse number 11. It says, "No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly." Friend, if God is withholding something from us, it is neither not good for us, or you or I, we're not prepared to receive it. Several years ago, I read an article entitled "Three Big Questions for a Big Promise," Psalm chapter 84 and verse 11. And it was about a young missionary who was serving in a remote village where the sun was unrelenting and the nights brought little relief. And one evening she collapsed from exhaustion and dehydration while helping rebuild a local school. And as she lay there, the light from a single lantern caught the filings of metal off of an old shield that was leaning up against the wall. And it made it look like there was a small sun in the room. And it struck her in the moment, just as the lantern brought in the warmth and the darkness, the shield offered protection in the vulnerable hours. So does God bring light into our darkest places, right? And guess what? He shields you and I in our weakest moments. Though this woman had been stripped of all comfort, resources, and even her strength was exhausted, she discovered that God withheld no good thing. His presence, His grace, His glory had never failed her. As long as she continued to walk uprightly, in other words, with integrity and dependence and surrender, guess what? She found that God was both her son and her shield. And you know what? That was illuminating her path, and it was defining her heart. So we see that, the delight in the delay, the direction in the delay, and we see the desires in the delay. Notice it says here in the passage, back in Psalm 37:4, the desires of thine heart. Well, what kind of desires, Brother Shane? Well, there's purified desires. Waiting has a remarkable ability to purify our desires, right? Well, listen, when we spend sufficient time waiting on God, our earthly cravings, guess what happens to them? They gradually begin to diminish. People are all excited about something, but if we have to wait, guess what? You lose that excitement. In other words, you're not really wanting it anymore when it finally gets time to get it, right? And you know what? I think that makes way for Christ-centered desires in our lives to rise to the forefront of our hearts when we have to wait. We think we want something, and God puts us waiting, and we find out later on that we're thankful we waited because God had something even better most of the time, right? And I think it also removes the selfishness desires that we have sometimes in our lives, where we surrender to His Spirit, replacing whatever the desire is with whatever God's will is. Listen, the longer you and I wait in delight, the more our hearts begin to align exactly with what God desires for us. And listen, it's not about God granting our fleshly cravings, but it's aligning our hearts, just as I just now mentioned, with what heavenly truly craves. You know, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it reminds us, it says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." You know, waiting not only transforms our hearts, but it rewires our desires. And then there's promised desires. Why would they be delayed? Because there's promised things that are desires that we have. Listen, I believe God will fulfill our desires of our heart, provided that our desires, whatever those may be, overflow from His will. That's what I believe. Every desire that is inspired by God has a specific appointed time for fulfillment. And so if He has placed a desire in your heart and it aligns with His will, it will ultimately come to fruition. I believe that wholeheartedly. You know, sometimes we yearn for things. And what we yearn for is not inherently wrong, but it's merely rushed. It's not that it's wrong, but sometimes we want to rush things and put the cart before the horse, right? Waiting on the Lord is not denial of a promise, but it's a declaration of trusting Him and His timing. I'd read about a child that had longed for a family that had longed for a child for a decade. They prayed, they sought medical help, they waited through all their disappointment. They had disappointment after disappointment. And during those years, the wife would often kneel at night and silently pour out her heart to God, asking God for a growing family. Yet in receiving absolutely no immediate answer, over time, she began to feel ashamed and around friends, overwhelmed by all the ache and unfulfilled dreams that she had. And then one evening she finally realized that she had shifted from trusting God's timing to resenting His delay. And in that moment, she surrendered afresh, and she prayed out to the Lord, "Lord, if you choose not to give us a child that I desire, then help me to trust that you're still good and that your plan is better than mine." I think it's okay to pray that. Because let me tell you something, right up front, God's plan's always better than mine, right? God's plan is always better than yours. A few months, she felt a heartfelt surrender. The couple were matched for adoption. The infant came into their home unexpectedly and brought immense joy. They later reflected on all these years of waiting that they weren't wasted. Now get this, we think they were wasted, but they were not wasted. They had matured in their faith during that waiting period. And listen, they had deepened their dependence on God. And I believe that God prepared their hearts to be able to receive the gift with gratitude rather than entitlement. See, today we think we're entitled to a lot of things, right? But we need to be grateful for what God has given us, whatever that may be. And then there's the discipline and delay. Notice it says here in verse number 5, "Commit thy way." Now, while our main verse today is verse number 4, verse 5 flows with an imperative action. Give you a little bit of English here. It says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in Him." Now, let me tell you what we need to trust Him with. First of all, we need to submit the schedule. What do you mean by that? What's that even mean? Listen, committing your way to the Lord, guess what that means? That means surrendering your calendar, surrendering your clock, right? Your watch, your clock, and your understanding and timing of Him. And I believe it's crucial for you and I to recognize that God's delays are not denials, but rather they serve as divine disciplines intended for our development. And so what you're waiting for may not be late. Listen, it may be laden with some type of purpose and preparation. Listen, God is preparing both a blessing and a believer for what is to come. And we also need to steady the soul. And so discipline, by the way, encompasses remaining steadfast during the wait. And you know what that means? Avoiding detours, shortcuts, and all these fleshly solutions that come to our heart and mind. Or not really our heart, but our mind. I'll give you some examples from a biblical standpoint. Abraham. Everybody knows who Abraham is, right? Father Abraham. He waited 25 years for the birth of Isaac. What about Joseph? One of my favorite stories in Genesis is about the life of Joseph. The Bible tells us he waited 13 years from the pit to the palace. And even Jesus, who's the star of the Bible, right? He waited 30 years. He spent 30 years in preparation before commencing his public ministry. 30 years. Guess what? These individuals were never forgotten. But instead, let me tell you this, they were being forged into the people that God intended for them to be. Listen, waiting is God's way of working wonders in silence, and guess what? Shaping our character in faith. And then the last thing is the display after the delay. You know, there's public proof of private patience. When we navigate through waiting periods in life with grace, God usually transforms our private pain into public praise. In other words, the world witnesses our testimony, not through our words alone, but also through our steadfastness in trusting Him. The delay itself becomes a powerful declaration, and here's what it is. Look what the Lord has done. You know, people often say, well, that was a great message, Pastor Shane or Brother Shane. Listen, no, look what the Lord's done. The only way anything's good is because He did it.
Amen.
And one thing I'm not going to start doing, and I don't plan on doing in any ministry calling that I've got, or even in my life in general, even on the job that I've got, is start taking credit for anything. I've learned a great lesson early on in my life before I was ever called to ministry, and it was reading the book of Exodus and reading about Pharaoh. I mean, God gave him all these warnings of plagues and frogs and everything else. And when I was a kid, I used to play with frogs. My mom used to say, "You're going to get warts on your hands." I guess that's why I've got psoriasis today. But I like messing with frogs. I mean, we had frogs everywhere. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sharon told me the other day she played with snakes. She went snake hunting. Her and Bunny. Right? I don't mess with snakes. But you know what? I look at what the Lord has done, and I give Him the praise for it. And by the way, there's perfect timing for the promised time. God's timing is impeccably perfect. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 assures us, "Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." And so when it does arrive, don't feel like it's been a delay, but rather the moment that God perfectly timed. And so I've learned just not to get in a hurry in anything, really. So today, in conclusion, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Waiting on the Lord is undoubtedly challenging, but I think it's an essential aspect for our spiritual growth to wait on Him. And so it's during these waiting periods, I believe, that we engage in worship and the pauses of life that prepares us for what's to come and God's will. And so as you're waiting, I want you to consider some actions. And these things I wrote down. First of all, let's delight in God's presence, right? Let's discipline our desires, whatever those may be, to align with His. Let's dedicate our way to Him. Let's depend on His perfect timing. And let's also declare His faithfulness regardless in all circumstances. You know, when life hits hard, and it does, and your prayers seem to linger in the air without any response, and sometimes they do, I want you to remember this truth. Remember that I said this. The delays that are imposed by God are never without divine design or purpose. I want to share this closing story about this couple on the screen. "Don't wither while you wait." In the early 1950s, a young missionary couple, Jim and Elizabeth Elliott, they're on the screen. They felt by God to reach the remote Huronia tribe in Ecuador, one of the most isolated and dangerous groups in the world at that time, and let me say, still a very dangerous part of the world. What many people don't know is before Jim ever set foot in Ecuador, that he spent years in what he later called the discipline of delay. Jim Elliott had a burning passion to go into the mission field immediately after graduating from college in 1949. But guess what? The doors didn't open. Finances were not there. Health screening slowed the process. Mission boards hesitated. His heart was ready to run, but God was asking him to wait. And it was during this season of delay, Jim wrote in his journal, and I quote, "Wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God." Instead of withering in discouragement, he leaned in. He studied the language. He memorized Scripture. He served in a local ministry. He began to grow spiritually. He strengthened his faith. And by the time that God finally opened up the door for Jim to go to Ecuador, Jim was not a wilted believer. He was a prepared one. And even though the way the story goes, and this is a true story, by the way, you can go look it up, Jim's life was taken by the very tribe that he tried to reach. His waiting was not wasted, and his faith never withered, because his story sparked a missionary wave that led to this tribe that killed him, their eventual salvation years later. And his wife writes about this.
Elizabeth.
You know what Jim's life reminds us? Waiting is not wasted time unless we choose to wither. Let me say that again. Waiting is not wasted time unless we choose to wither. Listen, God may not move us as quickly as we desire, but He always works while we wait. The question is simply this. Will we wilt in frustration, or will we grow in faith? You know, do not allow the hard hits of life to harden your heart, because I've seen that time and time again. Instead, let your waiting serve as an act of worship, and let your patience be a testament of your trust in God. You know, for those who truly delight in the Lord, the desires of their heart will not only be granted, but I believe it will be shaped by God, and it's going to be filled with His glory. Let's stand, if you're able to your feet, as Brother David and the musicians come forward. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, He could come back at any moment. Give your life to Him. If you're not in the will of God today, you surrender your life to Him right now. You surrender whatever's holding you back from fulfilling what God's will is. Now's the appointed time for that.
157. When we walk with my Lord in the light of His word, heart of glory.